Hey, welcome back to the Infest Podcast. This is Brian.
I'm Daryl.
Daryl, wait, you're not Johnny?
Nope.
No, Johnny's on vacation this week, and Daryl Jasper is back in the hot seat.
I have a better tan than Johnny, by the way, so.
That's racist, man. All right, man. Well, hey, thanks for stepping up and joining in. And with Daryl here this week, we are going to talk about something that we normally don't get a chance to talk about, video games. But first, as always on the Infamous Podcast, we have to talk about Netflix shows because we are unofficially sponsored by Netflix. Netflix, if you're listening, we are taking sponsorships. All right, so we are going to talk about Atypical. We are going to talk about the first part of Iron Fist because Daryl didn't finish it. I couldn't stop watching it. And then we're going to talk about Spider-Man on the PS4. Cool?
Cool.
All right. So I didn't realize you liked Atypical until we were talking about it the other day. And I think you love it as much as I do.
Oh, I absolutely love this show.
Yeah.
It's one of those that it was kind of like Stranger Things for me in the sense that I happened to see it one night and said, let me check this out. It's pretty interesting. And love season one and really, really enjoyed this season. Again, it was one of those that the only reason I didn't finish Iron, it was today I was had to decide, okay, I can finish Atypical and I could get to maybe season episode 9 of Iron Fist. So I said, you know what? I'm going to finish Atypical.
Sure. It was a really good season. So I was drawn to the show for two reasons. One, when I was younger, I volunteered with autistic kids, so I always have a soft spot for any stories that deal with autism. And two, I love Michael Rapaport. He is one of my favorite actors. He's hilarious in everything he does, and he's always Michael Rapaport, which is the beautiful thing about him.
Kind of like you and Jason Bateman?
No, it doesn't go that far, and it's not even like nearly as much as me and Paul Rudd. So there's no man crush on Michael Rapaport. But I do, I typically enjoy everything he's in. Like, he has, like, a really good agent. He picks really good, like, projects to do. He doesn't do too much, so you're not oversaturated with him.
Right.
And he's a Giants fan.
New York football Giants.
Heck yeah, man. So this season picked up, like, really close to where the first season left off. You know, the family's falling apart due to Jennifer Jason Leigh's affair.
Elsa,
yeah. And Doug kicks her out. Or no, Doug leaves.
Right, Doug leaves.
And hold on. I had to adjust Daryl's microphone. He's not used to podcasting.
I'm a rookie now.
You've been on before.
Once.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
And these are much better microphones than the last time you were on too. So anyway. So the whole thing where this family's falling apart, you've got the what's her name? The sister.
Casey,
thank you. Who's off to a new private school. You have Sam, who's going to his senior year of high school on his own.
Right.
Without Paige, because they're not dating at that point. And it was just really, it was really funny just kind of watching it. And like the way Sam kept it together through the season was really cool and shows how he's like grown and all of the just the stuff that he went through, losing the therapist, Julia. Do you know where she's from?
No.
Do you know? You don't recognize her?
She looks really
Did you
familiar.
Watch The Guild?
No, I did not watch
okay,
The Guild.
Okay, with the Felicia Day thing?
Right.
She
no.
was Tink on The Guild.
Now that you mentioned yes. Because
anyway.
I did watch, I watched probably the first season of The Guild.
Yeah.
And I never finished it.
It was all right. I mean, it was a fun little distraction.
Right.
So. Anyway, so but it's just funny because she was a badass on that, and here she is, this like sweet, caring therapist, who's in denial about being pregnant.
So, I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah.
So, like, going kind of leading off with what you talked about, I think what I loved about season one, and this is what got me into it, was just that back and forth between Sam and Casey. There's something about their relationship. I just absolutely love that. Again, I do like Michael Rapaport, and maybe not to the the level of you. Jennifer Jason Leigh is, and we'll have to talk about her as the mom this season, because there were some times during this season where I just wanted to tell her, just relax, back off.
Calm down, take a Valium, drink a glass of wine, take a nap, maybe a bath. I don't know.
Yeah, so... And to your point about Sam, this season. It's just tremendous watching him, and we'll get in more into some of the little details just as much as you want later on. But from episode one of this season, you know, he had a pseudo breakdown, and then I tell you, the end of, you know, that episode finale.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a little dusty, a little misty-eyed.
So. Yeah, the whole graduation and everything. Yes. It got a little dusty in the house. Now, the way the season very much ended felt so forced. The thing with Casey and Izzy, like, it doesn't make any sense because she's, what's her boyfriend's name now? God, I'm forgetting everything right now.
Evan.
Evan, thank you. I love Evan. Evan is such an awesome character, and he's like, he's so sweet and earnest and kind and loving. And then all of a sudden you have Casey who's questioning things, which is fine. But at the same time, it's like enough. Like why isn't it enough for her to be in a committed relationship to her boyfriend? And why is the idea of romance in movies and television adultery?
And that's a good point. Well, first off, as far as Evan goes, so I have this list. Yeah. Who do we love?
Oh, okay.
So I have Paige, Sam, Casey, Evan. I absolutely love that guy. He's just one of those, you know, good natured guys that, and he's one of the, you know, he doesn't have a problem telling Casey. Like, there's one part where he's like, yeah, you're being a little jerk.
Yeah.
He actually said that a couple times.
He told her she was being a brat.
A brat.
Yeah. Which was great. And that's what you would expect from someone who loves you unconditionally. And he puts up with a lot because Casey is a bag of crazy unto herself.
Yes.
Which makes her such a compelling three-dimensional character. I think that's the beauty of the show is Sam, you know, the autism isn't the only thing that defines him. He's three-dimensional. You have Casey who's three-dimensional. You have Evan who's multi-dimensional. I don't know if I'd call him three-dimensional so far. And then Doug and Elsa are both three-dimensional characters, which you never really see that in the parents where, like, the teenagers are the main characters.
Right.
But then you look at, like, Zahid and Paige and Julia, and they all have these, like, layers to them that make them these awesome characters. And I don't know about you, and I must have missed it at some point, but his best friend Zahid, who they work at the tech store together, I assumed he was in high school too, not a graduate living with his parents or his roommates, as you will, which was hilarious. But he still had his buddy spending the night.
Right.
It was a very cool, like, interaction.
And to that point about the three dimensions and the multidimensional characters, there were times where I wanted to see more of Evan and, you know, just to know a little bit more about him or Zahid, who, that guy is hilarious.
I feel like we get just enough Zahid, like, any more, and it's too much.
Right.
And if you learn anything more about him, you'll either like him in a way where you'll root for him differently, or you'll really start to hate him.
Right. Because there were a couple examples where he gave advice, and I had to just shake my head and say, Zahid, man. But overall, a lot of times parents are that forgotten, and you know, you have, especially in sitcoms, you have the parents, and they're there, but they're not really there.
Right. Or one of them is like, the dad's like super dopey, and the mom's like super like helicoptery or something.
Right.
And while Elsa is super helicoptery, it comes from a different place. It comes from putting all of her life into Sam.
Yes.
Because Sam is the most important thing, and making sure he's taken care of. And she kind of forgets about Casey and Doug from time to time.
Right.
And then she has this affair. She takes care of herself, and she has this affair last season. And then she expects to come back. It's so funny. She pushes and pushes and pushes. And then in the scene where Doug and Elsa have their shower scene.
Right. Oh, hi.
Yeah, right? And it's like, well, he probably should have, like, turned her away. But at the same time, he was going through some stuff.
Right.
And then he totally regretted it, which was really interesting to see because it's like, wow, they're gonna reconcile these two people. And I liked his chemistry with the other woman from the autism
Megan,
more than his chemistry with Elsa.
Right. And I think part of that is to the point of Elsa being that helicoptery doesn't know when to stop pushing. When you do something like that, whether it be adultery, lying, you know, you can't expect the person that you did that to just say, okay, you know what? It's fine. Everything's okay.
Right.
And that she has a problem with doing that. And to your point, it has a lot to do with never feeling like she can step away because of Sam.
Right.
And that's one of the things, especially toward the end of this season, she realizes, because in a conversation, she even apologizes to him, saying, I'm sorry for underestimating you.
Right.
And one of the things she actually, I think it was midway through the season when she had her honesty kick, which was pretty funny.
That was funny.
Is that, you know, we get so caught up in our lives and stuff, and we'll have to go back to the whole, speaking of honesty, the whole Zahid, the POF Sam. But that was a step for her. And then she took that other step when she I think she's realizing that her way of doing things is not always, even though she means well,
mm-hmm.
it's not always the way to go. And right. it's, I think she realizes when, so did you want to go spoiler it?
Yeah, we can spoil this one. It's fine.
So, after their shower time and, Doug still can't get that out of his mind.
Right.
He pays a visit to the guy
and
at the club and hits the guy and the guy's like, okay, I deserve it.
Yeah.
And I thought, I was wondering if, is that going to come back? Because I don't know when when Elsa gets the phone call, I was going to wonder, is that guy calling her and telling her about that?
Yeah.
That just wouldn't seem right. But it wasn't. That was something totally different. But she does find out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when she just says, look, we're going to have to hash things out. We're going to have to talk. Instead of her trying to, pretty things up like she was most of the season.
I think the whole kind of little microcosm for their relationship happened when he asked her if she wanted dinner and he was making his famous chop suey, and she runs upstairs and she's dolling herself up and getting kind of cleavagey, and she comes down and his empty bowl is in the sink and her bowl is sitting on the counter. And it was like, that's where they're at. And this is where they're at this season. That's my ringtone.
That's an interesting ringtone.
I thought it was on vibrate. Well, it's the old modem sound.
Right.
So, whenever that goes off in, a restaurant or, the mall or something, 9 out of 10 times, some old guy will look at me and go, and shake his head, the knowing, yeah, I remember that sound.
For a split second, I was about to look at the computer. I was like, okay, is your connection okay?
No, my AOL just cut out. So, my 56K modem. Forget the fiber. I cut the fiber cord and I went back to modem. Total hipster. So this is why we have to record on Tuesdays, because it takes 4 days to upload the podcast to iTunes. So
overnight downloads.
Yeah,
I remember
overnight. It's over week download for the size of files nowadays. But no, like I was saying, their relationship is definitely broken. I am interested in a season 3 of the two of them exploring dating life, exploring how they're going to support Sam at art school with his independence while still being there to help him. Definitely want to see how they're going to deal with the revelations that Casey's having. Is she gay? Is she not?
Right.
How is Evan going to react to all of this? I feel like they did a lot of really cool. They unpacked a lot of really cool stuff. Right. And then they put it back in the box in a really interesting way to unpack it again next year.
Right. And going back to the Casey Izzy thing, it was I thought it was actually the way they, as much as, how bad Izzy was to her at first.
Right.
And then they're in the office. I thought that was a little quick how they, I know things like that can happen where you can bond over shared experiences.
Sure.
And then lose a lot of the, that facade of who you're mm-hmm. showing yourself to be versus who you are. But I thought that was a little bit rushed how they did that.
Oh, how they became best friends.
Right.
And she totally forgot her friend from high school, from the other school.
Yeah.
Well, she didn't even show up until the birthday party and that was it. And it's she had 4 lines and it's was it Charlene? Is that her name or something that?
I meant to look up her name.
Anyway, but it's where has she been all this time? And why isn't she hanging out with her? Casey had a very interesting season. She is not the top dog at the new school. She is, trying to find her place in the world, and she's finding out she's not quite the hot shit she thinks she is.
Right.
which is always interesting to see that happen to a character that a lot doesn't go wrong for.
Right, because you look back at last season, there are a lot of people at the old school that were afraid of her. Mm-hmm. And it, I mean, because, you know, she would defend Sam tooth and nail, and everybody knew it. Now she doesn't have that at this new school.
Right.
You know, I love that the first class she had, she said, is this AP? Because it was supposed to be in regular. She's like, this is regular. Oh, I didn't know that I was dumb.
Yeah, that was really funny. So, this show's really well written. It does a great job with the pacing. Nothing drags. They're about 30-minute episodes,
which is perfect.
And they fly by.
Right.
Like, I mean, the 10 episodes is perfect for this. It's about a little under 5-hour binge if you want to sit down and watch it all, which is not hard to do because it is such a good show.
Right.
So.
And, yeah, I think that, like, when they added 2 more episodes from season 1 mm-hmm. to this season, I said, oh, go. That's nice because, again, I'm so used to 40-minute, 50-minute shows, which, again, some when we'll talk about Iron Fist, that's one of those. It needs that. Mm-hmm. But a show like Atypical, 30 minutes is perfect.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's a comedy drama. It doesn't need to be any longer than that.
Right.
But yeah, okay. Do you have any last things you want to add or?
So, never finished about the Casey Easy thing.
Oh yeah.
But so to your point, I think that was a little bit forced. I won't say I didn't see it coming. I don't know what it was about. I don't know if it's just because of how quickly they were, you know, so much besties.
Mm-hmm.
But there was something. I wasn't really surprised that when, you know, they were in the room at the party, when Izzy shows up after, you know, just being completely terrible to Casey after after Izzy's boyfriend tries to kiss Casey. And that was something I thought there was something that was going to happen with Casey and mm-hmm. Nate. That was, you know, Izzy's boyfriend. And I think at first Casey might have thought that in that first moment they met.
Right.
But it was only because he was the first person
that
at
was
that
nicer.
School that was nicer. Yeah. So I think after, you know, especially after she got to know Izzy, mm-hmm. that was out the door. But I think the thing they showed with them was a little bit forced in a way. Again, I wasn't quite surprised by it, but at the same time, it rocked the boat of the smoothness of the season mm-hmm. in a way for me.
And, you know, I mean, it's cool to have little, like, twist and, like, rock the boat.
Right.
But at the same time, it just seems so out of line from that character.
Right. It was just, yeah, I'm not
so,
sure.
So I'm really interested to see what they do with that. So.
Yeah, it'll be, because I do like the actress that plays Izzy.
Yeah.
I like her.
She was really good. All right. Moving on to, last thing.
First, one of the things we didn't mention is, again, Sam's going to school, and he just casually tells Paige, I think I love you.
Yeah. Well, Paige is great.
Oh, I love her.
When she cut her finger off.
I knew that was going to happen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She's like slicing. I'm like, oh, she's cutting. I didn't know what she was going to cut, but like, I knew it was bad. She is so good in that role.
And let's talk about touching, wondering why she lost her voice.
Yeah.
Is when she found out.
Oh yeah,
what those
some
punk kids
guy wrote in the
wrote in Sam's
yearbook,
and then just showing that she's got his back, and you know, her trying to play it cool the last couple episodes of them not being together, and
so but before we move on, Iron Fist, the whole casual relationship thing, right? She's like, I want a casual relationship, and then she lays out the rules, and she forgets who she's talking to. Because he's like, rules that
I
get to follow? Yes. And he every time she tries to like make it a little more serious, he reminds her of the rules. And it was so funny. And she's like, I don't want this. I don't want a casual relationship. He's like, well, that's what we have. And so it was so funny.
But
so.
I
because
really
that's his perfect relationship.
Oh, absolutely. Because when he said that, wasn't it Zahid? Was it Zahid said you need to find out what the rules are?
Right.
And then that's when he perked up and said, Okay.
So he gets to kiss her. He doesn't have to talk to her. He doesn't have to hang out with her. And then he has her walking him down the hall during third and fourth period. Like, what else does Sam need? So that right there was like one of the coolest parts of the show.
So I'm really, really interested to see where it goes with them next season. Again, yeah. I know she's going to, I'm not sure where that school is that she's going to.
I'm sure it'll be close
they'll
by.
Find a way to, you know, bring them back together.
So, it'll be like Parenthood where the one girlfriend was going to Tufts or whatever, and she was hanging out at Cal with Drew, or Berkeley with Drew. Amy, his girlfriend, I'm Parenthood.
Yeah, I'm looking at you blankly right now because I've never watched that.
What?
Show. Oh. It's on my to-watch list.
Okay. All right. So, the second season was great. I'm looking forward to a third season. Absolutely. For sure, hopefully. Awesome cast, awesome writing, great job. Okay, moving on to Iron Fist. I am going to make a hot take here, and you can go back and listen to our review 2 years ago from the first Iron Fist. I liked Iron Fist. I liked the first season. It's not great. It's not the top. Like, I like it better than either of the Luke Cage seasons as a whole. I liked it better than Defenders as a whole. I think this season was amazing for what they were able to do for a character that most people are like, oh, why are they making another season of Iron Fist? To I've only seen when's the third season coming out reviews.
So I will say that I did not like season one Iron Fist. I actually season one Iron Fist, and this is a good comparison to me. For season one Iron Fist to me was like season one of Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Oh no, it wasn't that bad.
To me, it was.
Oh, God, but, no, don't say that. This is... Plus, it didn't have Eric Balfour to ruin it. That's right. I said it, Eric Balfour. You ruin shit.
So this is why I'm saying that. Season two. Like, so, for example, if I watched season one of Buffy, if I had watched that from the beginning, I don't know if I would have watched season two.
You wouldn't have come back for season
two. I don't know if I would. I probably would have come back because of you
then
or
you
somebody
wouldn't.
Else.
But I didn't start watching Buffy until season four was
That's
going
where
on
I started.
Live.
That's where I
well,
started.
Well, I mean, I started with the DVDs, but why season four was on.
That's where
season five was the first one. You know, obviously, I watched the last season live, so with season five and everything. But
the last season?
She died, dude. There was no more. It was she had the awesomest like heroines like, you know, she died saving the world and saving Dawn. Like everyone got to live happily ever after because she died.
That's your story and you're sticking to it.
I don't know what you're talking about. Anyway, you derailed me. Oh, so we never would have got Passions if like there wasn't a season 2 of Buffy, which is hands down the best episode of the entire series, mm-hmm. when Angel kills Jenny Calendar.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
oh.
The best. Like, that show peaked at episode, whatever, 12, 13 of season 2. Like, mm-hmm. and, like, you know, it wasn't like a steep drop-off, but to me, that was the high mm-hmm. point of that show across the board.
But what I'm saying is in the left hand, you have season 1 of Iron Fist and Buffy, mm-hmm. season 2 of Buffy and season 2 of Iron Fist. This season of Iron Fist is probably one of the most pleasant surprises, considering considering what I thought of season one. It was just after the first episode, you know, I sent the text to some of my friends, including you, saying, "Okay, it's one episode, it's really good, but mm-hmm. it's only one episode." Then episode two. Okay, it's really good, but it's only two episodes.
Right.
First half of Luke Cage season one was great. So
up until Mursal Ali died.
Yes, and that's when that went downhill. But again, I'm up to episode seven right now. But
did you watch episode seven?
No, I have no.
Oh.
So
wow. Okay.
Yeah. So I am. Yeah, you know, when I leave here, one of the things I'm going to do. Going home, turning on Iron Fist, because this, first of all, Finn, let's start with Finn Jones himself. He, not even the martial arts, that's, oh, I love, absolutely love the fighting in this season.
Yeah.
This season versus last season's fighting, and I know there were some issues with.
So Finn Jones took it seriously this time. I don't think he took it seriously in season one. He said he only trained for 3 weeks. He got hurt. During training.
Oh, I didn't know he got hurt.
Like, he had some sort of ankle issue during filming. But, like, you know, they filmed for, what, 13, 14 weeks to shoot a 10-episode series.
Right.
Or 13, whatever. I think 10 episodes was perfect.
Oh, absolutely.
I actually would have been okay if some of this was condensed to 8.
To 8.
But that being said, there's not a lot to pick out. Like, we're talking, if we're condensing it to 8, we're having, you know, 8 55 to 60 minute episodes. No 48 minute episodes or anything.
Or whatever, yeah, it was.
So, but no. So Finn Jones, yes. I think all the credit in the world has to go to Raven Metzger or Metzer. The new showrunner.
Oh, she's the new. That's the one thing. I wasn't sure who the new showrunner. Oh.
I believe it's he. Yeah, it's a dude.
Oh, okay.
So, anyway, he did Clue and Falling Skies and Sleepy Hollow. He was involved with all that stuff.
I still need to finish Falling Skies.
Yeah. Ah, no. I gave up on that one. Like, I never finished it.
Season two.
Season one was good. Season one was great. Season two was good. Season three was a horror show. And then I never came back for season 4.
Okay.
Which, you know me, I'm a completionist.
Right.
So.
I must have been a bad season 3.
Ugh.
But to your point, yes, because there's a smoothness. This is one of the reasons I didn't like season 1. First, to the point, Finn Jones, he just didn't look comfortable.
Yeah.
The martial arts, the fighting, the choreography, and again, this isn't his fault necessarily, but I'm not sure if you read this as well, but you know they were changing some of the choreography up until
like the day, like that morning of the fight.
You can't do that with something complicated like that.
Yeah, and especially not expected to look as smooth as it needs to. Like these fights were smooth; they were brutal.
Yes,
just constantly. Like Alice Eve, man, she kicked ass. All sorts of ass in this. She was amazing.
I loved her characters with an S.
All three of them.
That's what I was. Maybe. I was wondering because when you sent me that text about is this so Alice Eve is playing Mary Walker slash Typhoid Mary if for comic book
slash comics. Bloody Mary.
So when you asked me that, I was like, yeah, it is. And then I went back just to check on because I don't remember a lot about her in the comics, so I kind of just did a little.
She's mainly been a Daredevil villain,
right? Yeah.
So I think it's really interesting that they use her here, and kind of hope that they carry her over into Daredevil at some point.
Mm-hmm.
She also was not a villain in this.
No, she was in a way she was sort of an antagonist at times, but she wrote that line where she wasn't a complete antagonist, but she was not that protagonist either.
No, she was chaotic neutralish,
right?
You know,
I like that chaotic.
She definitely came in to cause chaos, whether it was as Walker or as Mary,
right?
And she did such a great job with just the way she like set her jaw as Walker, right? It was like this set, like stern military woman, and then as Mary, all of her features softened. It's like, right. I've always liked Alice Eve. She's a fun actress to watch. She definitely got the short end of the stick with Into Darkness as Carol Marcus, which should have been a much better character. But, you know, JJ was more worried about Star Wars than Star Trek at that time. but that being said, she was such a welcome addition to this cast. I loved Finn Jones on Game of Thrones. Like
the Knight of Flowers.
I thought as Loras Tyrell, he did this just amazing job of a character in the book who was definitely way more flowery and way less badassy.
Right.
But he was still like considered one of the finest warriors in the Seven Kingdoms, to really depicting that line nicely between the two. Like, you know, he was gay with Renly, and then, you know, beating the crap out of everybody but Brienne of Tarth on the battlefield. So that was really cool. Seeing him in this role, though, is really interesting because he has this, like, cool vulnerability to him. And, like, this, oh, are you lost? Like, you know, you just want to walk up to me like, do you need to find your mom and dad? which is kind of true. But, yeah, I liked him. And then Colleen Wing.
Oh.
Like, okay, Netflix, I know you listen because we talk about you all the time. we need a Daughters of the Dragon series, miniseries, 6 episodes, Misty, Colleen.
Misty Knight coming in. right midway through the season. I think her name's Simone Missick.
Yep. I love Simone Missick so much.
Swoon.
She's so hot.
And there is, I just love the, and I've said this word before, the badassery of her.
Yeah.
It's one of those things because, and she's one of those that back when she was first introduced, you know, she felt, it looked like she had a chip on her shoulder in the sense of trying to prove herself.
She's the only thing I like about Luke Cage.
She was great in Luke Cage.
I mean, Mike Holter is a great Luke Cage. I liked him better as Luke Cage on Jessica Jones. I liked him better as Luke Cage in Defenders. I liked the way he approached the character better in season two of Luke Cage, mm-hmm. but season two was
I didn't dislike season two. I'm really interested to see where they go with season three, or if they do a Heroes for Hire. I don't know how they're.
Well, they're not going to do Heroes for Hire because, spoiler alert, he's going to be the King of Harlem.
Which, yeah, that's.
And I mean, oh, never mind. Can't talk about that. That would be a spoiler. See, I got to be careful. Like, I'm glad I know where you are, and I have the episodes up, so I know where to stop.
But to your point about the Daughters of the Dragon, that is something that I would love to see.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we have Ward back, we have Joy back, we have Danny back, we have Colleen, we get Misty midway through, and then we have Mary Walker. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just this really cool little cast that they put together.
And I will say that I was one of the ones that I wasn't a huge fan in season one of Ward and Joy. I mean, I didn't dislike them.
Yeah.
And Ward, well, he's not. I was about to say he's kind of an ass. He really is. But there were two conversations he's had middle of the season. I can't remember if they're in the same episode or not. One where he was talking to Danny. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, after Danny, again, we're spoiler alerts for this. Danny misplaces his iron fist.
Oh, yeah.
So,
well, hold on. No, because this is in the preview.
Okay, so we can.
So Davos figures out how to transfer the Iron Fist to him away from Danny.
Right.
Which I'm not going to spoil how that happens because that was freaking brutal and amazing.
Yes.
So, yeah. And Davos with the Iron Fist was so freaking cool,
man,
because you saw how it corrupted him, and the ideal that it was red instead of yellow,
right?
So like Danny is the pure version of the Iron Fist. He's the pure of heart and right. trustworthy and, you know, virgin of the freshborn snow that like they needed to defeat Shao Lao. And so it was really interesting to see, and then the fact that he had both hands.
That's the episode that I just got finished where Walker became Mary again, so yeah. You know exactly where I'm at. But back to Ward, Ward is, it's kind of babysitting Danny because, you know, Danny almost died.
Well, and Danny needs a babysitter constantly.
Well, that's true as well. So, you know, Danny's kind of lamenting to Ward, mm-hmm. you know, what he lost, and he says, when the dragon was really, really with me, it felt good. It felt like I could break the world. And remember, Ward is an NAA, you know, what he's an addict, and yeah. he's trying to work through that. And
he's working through a lot of stuff because he killed his dad in the first season. And
let's get to that. So that's the second part of that. So Ward said, he said, listening to you now, I really relate it. Brother, I've seen the same dragon. Mm-hmm. And that, like, that scene right there gave me chills because yeah. just that delivery. But I think it was Trump when the conversation Ward had with Joy.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of when you knew we were talking about Elsa being, right. you know, just wouldn't let Ward's been like that with his sister Joy, you know, because, you know, I don't know how long it's been between season one and two. But
yeah,
they haven't talked
really
at all.
Yeah.
She's been avoiding him, pushing him away. And he's just keeps trying. And, you know, one of the things she says, it's like, you're doing this. It's about you, not about me. But this is a little bit after he tells her what actually their dad did to him.
Oh, yeah.
And that, man, that was such a, you know, just heart crushing.
Yeah. And like, she didn't even care.
Yeah.
That was the thing. She didn't. She's because Joy, Joy in the first season was very much a different person she is now.
Absolutely.
And Ward made her how she is now. That's part of the problem, mm-hmm. right? But then her complete unwillingness to see any kind of humanity out of Ward with what he was going right. through was kind of rough to watch.
Yeah.
And not in a bad way. I'm saying it was rough to watch as a viewer. It's absolutely. You really felt, you feel for both of them.
Yeah, because she still has that wall, like yeah. that solid wall up that, because you could see for a second it cracked just her eyes when he said,
yeah.
do you remember when I broke my arm?
Yeah.
Or I said I got in that ski accident and yeah. had all the bruises on me? And he
or like, I tripped and hit my eye on a doorknob.
Yeah, and he's like, you know, I don't know how many times, you know, I had our bags packed and had mm-hmm. a ticket and just say we needed to run away. And then she would say, but you never did. That's what she says.
Yeah.
And that's kind of along the lines of, you know, even when, you know, someone comes, you know, opens up to you like that, if you have that hurt inside, sometimes mm-hmm. it's hard to see past that yeah. anger and, you know, and that hurt. Even when someone's done something to protect you.
Right.
It's so, I mean, and that's one of the things that I really liked about their relationship this season. It just seems more true
mm-hmm.
in, you know, versus last season, which again, you know, I love, what's his name? David Windham, who played the dad.
Oh yeah. 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 From 300.
Yeah. I like him as a character, like as an actor, but I just did not like what they did with his character. So that was one of my big issues. And sure. wasn't a huge fan of Bakuto either from last year.
No, Bakuto was a strange beast to yeah. introduce as, cause we knew so much about the hand already.
Right.
And to have Bakuto be the face that they put on the hand.
Yeah.
Was odd.
Yeah, I wasn't a huge fan of that. So, again, 7 episodes, or technically 6 if you want mm-hmm. to be technical, 6 episodes into this season. It's just a lot of those issues they've ironed out. And, you know, if the last few episodes are as good as the first 6, then, you know, I cannot wait for a season 3.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there definitely has to be a season 3.
So, it's I mean, it's just... And Davos is the villain. Like, one of the things I liked about this is we got to see a little bit more of his relationship with Danny. Mm-hmm. Really didn't see it last season.
Well, he was in so infrequently last right. season, so which made sense. But yeah, I mean, they're brothers. They mm-hmm. are. It's funny because Danny is, it's a tale of two families, right? He has his Kunlun family, which is Davos.
Mm-hmm.
And then he has his reality family, which is Joy and Ward
mm-hmm.
and Colleen. And right. Misty. And you know, he's really trying to figure out how to, like, look who he needs to look after. Like, what does he need to do? He doesn't want to hurt anyone.
Right.
But yeah, it was so, so very, very interesting. And, you know, we kind of glazed over it, but the opening scene of this season.
Oh.
That's where I was like, okay, they have figured this out. Because when he takes down that armored car.
Right.
With the iron fist. It was like, hell yeah, man. That's what we've been waiting to see. We didn't get any of that.
No.
In season 1 or The
Not
Defenders. And, you know, the guy who was the showrunner for the first season was the guy who was the showrunner for The Inhumans. So obviously he doesn't know how to tell stories professionally for
that's
a living.
That's not good.
And so this is a character that's not hard to get right.
Right.
At the end of the day, it's kind of a Spider-Man redemption thing, and at the same time, it's a, I need to look out for the people who can't look out for themselves. Mm-hmm. That's who Iron Fist is at the end of the day.
Right.
I also think, like, the whole thing where people were upset that they cast Finn Jones and not an Asian actor as Iron Fist, it's like, that doesn't make sense for this story. And, like, you can say, oh, it's the white savior thing or whatever the parable is that you want to talk about, but at the end of the day, he's the fish out of water.
Exactly.
And so it's flipping that parable on its head where, like, even as he comes back, he's been indoctrinated to the Kunlun way of life. And so now he's a fish out of water again in the place where he should feel at home.
Right.
And even all the way up until, you know, the last 3 minutes of this season, he is a fish out of water.
And that was a good point you made. You're talking about the indoctrinated into the way of
yeah.
the life, you know, Kunlun. And we see that with some of the stuff that he goes through and Davos.
Yeah.
Because we get to see Davos, Davos, and this is one of the things I like when a villain is humanized. Mm-hmm. One of the things I loved about Infinity War is you saw, you know, Thanos was humanized.
Know, they humanized the Avengers so much as the villains of the story. Mm-hmm. It was just you really did feel for them as Thanos was trying to save the universe from itself.
Hashtag Thanos was right,
dude. Thanos was so right. Davos isn't wrong here either, to be honest.
And that's to the point.
And so I compare him to Killmonger in a lot of ways. Just
that's a good comparison.
He has a little better motivation for what he's doing, because he actually feels like something was taken from him that he lost out to, not he was born somewhere else and forgotten about.
Right.
And just happened to, you know, work his way up. The fight to find out who would get to fight Shao Lao.
That
is, it's not up there with the hallway fight scene, but it's definitely up there with the stairwell fight
and
scene
the brutality
from season
of
two.
It.
It's the most brutal thing they've done outside of the Punisher.
Yield. And, you know, Danny wouldn't yield.
Neither one of them
neither
would.
One. And that's one of the things I love about that is that they're, I mean, I know, I believe that was Davos's father.
Mom and his dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and that was really, to see when Davos left, you know, he left Kun Lun mm-hmm. to try to bring Danny back. And he's talking to his mom, and she's on the other side of the door.
Right.
And he's like, you might not see me again. You know, if there's anything you want to say to me that you might not get another chance to say.
And there were crickets.
Say it.
Crickets. And nothing. Nothing
and
from
you can't
her.
Help but feel for him in that situation because he's
and especially those of us who had moms that were like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's like, dude, I totally identify with you.
Yeah, and that's when you humanize a villain like that and gives his, you know, his motivations, you know, just as much conviction as the heroes.
Yeah.
That's when you have a good villain.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the reasons why I really love Davos in this series in this season.
So he was so much a better victim or villain. Well, victim is the right word too. Than Howard in the first season. Howard Meacham. So
absolutely.
Yeah, and you know, and Bakudo for sure. Mm-hmm. So, I just can't say enough about Misty West's character development on this show. Like, she just needs to be on Iron Fist from now on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, forget about her on Luke Cage. Just keep her and Colleen and Danny having cool scenes with cool people. You know, there's some cool stuff that happens to her in the last three episodes that I can't talk to you about because I don't want to spoil it. you know, when Doctor Strange shows. I'm kidding.
Yeah, it was funny because when she was in Luke Cage and they had her and Colin, we had the fight in the bar.
Mm-hmm.
I remember on one of the message boards, I was like, that was really weak.
Yeah.
And I didn't like it. Then they had the fight with the tattoo sisters. Now that, you know, that was a kick-ass fight.
Her holding her own against Davos,
yeah,
was great. Her versus Mary was great.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it was so. There was so much fighting that happened,
and it's good fighting.
And you know, it was very much a. This is so enjoyable to watch because it is martial arts choreography at some of its finest that Netflix has ever done.
Absolutely.
Like, Altered Carbon had a lot of stuff like this when you had Dolores Leachin fighting herself, or fighting with the naked clones against the one lady who was just awful. The partner.
Yeah. Her name escapes me, but I know what you're talking about.
You know, and it wasn't the brutality of the Punisher for brutality's sake, but at the same time, it was brutal and beautiful and worthwhile.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's fighting. The thing about fighting is every fight should tell a story.
Mm-hmm.
It just like every scene, it's not just a good fight, I should say.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes there's a fight that was just, you know, chaos for chaos sakes, and that could be fine, but fighting, it tells a story. Yeah. And that's what this season of Iron Fist, first of all, the story itself, and then, you know, that fighting, because that's when you think about the Iron Fist, you think about his martial arts prowess.
Mm-hmm.
And that was something that they decidedly lacked in season one. and they really ride it to the ship in season two. And it's just fantastic. I just love the choreography.
Yep. It's well worth a watch. The music's really good again.
Music is really good.
And again, what's her name? Jessica Henwick as Colleen Wing steals every single scene she's in. Whether, and like, she never loses her agency. She's never minimized. She is every bit the partner to Danny that she right. should be. And when a certain thing happens in the last few episodes, you just fall in love with her even more.
And that's a good point, because there was an easy, I guess, an opportunity, or I wouldn't say opportunity, but it could have been easy to have her lost in the shuffle of being, you know, Danny's girlfriend.
Right.
But you don't look at her as Danny's girlfriend. You look at her as Colleen Wing.
Yep.
She just happens to be dating, you know, Danny Rand.
She just lives with the immortal Iron Fist. Right. That's all.
So.
All right. Definitely watch this. Definitely finish this. And, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you have something else to add?
No, that's probably cool. Pretty much it.
All right. Let's talk about what a spider does.
So, Spider-Man.
The PS4 Spider-Man.
PS4 exclusive.
So, I liked it the first time I played it when it was called Spider-Man 2. It's almost the same game.
That's funny. Say, I've never played that Spider-Man 2.
I can bust out the PS2 and we can fire it up. we can go old school into the component side of the TV. No HDMI there, baby. No, this game is fantastic. You got to start playing before I did.
Right.
And I caught up to you. Yeah. And so, then I didn't play yesterday or today, and you're ahead of me again.
So, going with the Elsa, I'm going to tell the truth. Yeah. Every night or every morning I would wake up or turn on the game, I'd say, okay, let me make sure Brian didn't get a trophy that I don't have. So I would compare our trophies.
Oh, were you looking? Yeah. Oh, I don't even do that.
It was just for this game.
Yeah.
So,
well, this is the only game that we both play.
Right. So, yeah.
Because I don't do first-person shooters, and you don't play Rocket League.
Right. So, Brian knows I'm a gamer. I just finished, probably a few months ago, one of the best games I've ever played. It's The Witcher 3.
Right.
I'm a huge open world fan. Horizon Zero Dawn, another PS4 exclusive.
Yeah.
Probably the most beautiful game I've ever played. Yeah. And again, I'm not part of the PC Master Race, so I'm never, I'm not a PC guy.
PC Master Race.
I know.
But. That always makes me laugh.
And I'm currently on Skyrim, buggy, but it's one of those you can play 200-300 hours a game. Also at God of War, which is not quite open world. It's more straight line. But Spider-Man, and one of the things I told Brian is, I remember I said, this is very similar to Infamous, which is one of my favorite PS3 games.
Those were my two favorite PS3 games, was Infamous and Infamous 2.
And Spider-Man builds on that. Yeah. I mean, again, you know, the Infamous, your character, you basically, quote-unquote, you rode the lightning.
So the only difference, well, the big difference, right, is in Infamous and Infamous 2, your decisions affected your status as a hero. And I really wish you could affect public opinion to lean towards J. Jonah Jameson or lean towards Spider-Man.
Right.
And that's the one thing I felt was missing. Because if you're running around streets and running into people, or as I like to do, like pick up a mailbox, like L1 and R1.
Right.
Swing it around and throw it at like a group of there's bystanders. That should affect like your
Absolutely.
Gameplay a little bit. But that being said, just wow. Like they nailed it. All the suits, all the adventures, the fact that you don't have to buy anything, you can earn it all.
Which in this day and age for games, that is huge.
And I told you, I'm doing all the side missions for the most part as much as I can. Like, because you were like, did you see this? And what was it? The pictures, right? I have like 10 of them. And you're like, oh. And then I have like 5 of the Black Cat things. And but as I'm playing, like, I just like swinging around and looking for the red warning arrows to go stop a crime.
Absolutely love that.
And then like popping up to the people who need your help, like the the lady who was bird watching and saw the gang trying to bust into the Wi-Fi network in Central Park.
I wonder if I've
probably
done that before.
The pigeons take the flash drive and you have to chase the pigeons around the city and catch them.
Oh, yeah. Right. I'm
you know,
doing that.
Like part. Going through the garbage looking for Peter's flash drive. You know, again, flash drives all over the place in this game. Was a lot of fun. Playing as Mary Jane for a minute was fun. Playing as Miles for a minute was fun. You know, I feel like this game is really setting up a Spider-Man 2, a Spider-Man 3.
Absolutely.
I'm assuming the Sinister Six all will show up at some point in this game. I haven't gotten that far.
Right, me neither.
But I am a huge, huge fan, and I have probably spent, let's see, I got it Friday night at like 6. I didn't start playing it until around 9 or 10. And then I probably played for 10 to 12 hours this weekend.
I'm probably around that 12 hour mark. Because I have a couple, I took Friday off because, mm-hmm. I knew I was going to do the podcast.
Right.
Atypical came out Friday. Iron Fist came out Friday. Spider-Man came out
Friday.
We
consumed a lot of pop culture in the last 4 days.
Oh, absolutely.
A lot. Like, I'm like, I'm going to read a book tonight.
I took a break for football on Sunday, definitely football on Saturday, but during halftime I would let me run a couple missions here and there.
So the only time I wasn't playing or watching was when I was either at the gym or eating this weekend and like the little bit that I slept, because I've been up till like 2:30 every night for the last few nights. So
but this game is, it's so much fun. And as I was mentioning God of War, God mm-hmm. of War is a great, absolutely amazing game. But there's a seriousness to it that sometimes I just need to step away from.
Yep.
I mean, yes, there's some humor in it. There's a couple of NPCs, non-playable characters
right.
that you run into that are hilarious. Kratos, his relationship with his son is amazing. But Spider-Man, there's just something, even in the seriousness of it, there's something light and just light and airy about Spider-Man that I absolutely love.
Yeah.
And to your point, swinging around the city, just hanging out and, not going, okay, yeah, my main mission is down the road and about 1,500 meters away. Let's see what I'm going to do on this block. Let's see what I run into on this block. So that, and... Speaking, this is what I meant to tell you, that sometime next month the first DLC comes out.
It's the Black Cat.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, I hadn't looked. I just, one of the first, a couple weeks ago, I read an article, or I didn't even read it. I actually saw it said Spider-Man DLC confirmed for October.
Yeah, it's a Black Cat thing. It's just, it's a lot of fun. I love the... getting all the costumes. I like doing the I like being able to pick the different power-ups that you have.
So
I'm rocking Spider-Punk with the regen power-up,
and this was one of the things, like when you were talking about the social score or public mm-hmm. perception of you being, I honestly think you should have to say have gotten to a certain level before you could mix and match powers and suits.
Well, I mean, I'm at like level like 18 or something.
Yeah. Well, that's
so,
fine. But,
yeah.
Like
I didn't
do it
start
right away.
But I didn't start doing it right away. No. I didn't realize like I read no manuals or instructions or tutorials. I just started playing.
Do we ever?
I don't know. Some people might. I was going through, wait a second, I can change this?
And that's what I did.
Probably level 10 or 12 before I did that.
See, I was level 3 or 4, and what I did is I put the spider legs on the advanced the first suit you get.
Mm-hmm.
So, that is like a small nitpick.
Right.
And one of the other things, because I'm such an open world Witcher type fan, I would have loved, and not just this game, but just for future games like this, having, this is New York City, so it's not like you can go into every single building. That would be ridiculous.
Just being able to go into some buildings.
Being able to go into some buildings.
It's like GTA.
Yeah. So, because even The Witcher, you can't go into every building.
Yeah.
But being able to, interact a little bit more on certain people, again, when you have a big city like that, and they do a great job making the city feel crowded. That was some of the issues that people had with The Witcher and Skyrim, and some of the cities there are kind of sparsely populated. But, those are minor quibbles. But overall, it's such a fun game. Such a smooth game. I don't think I've had any issues, with...
No crashes,
no none of that.
Hiccups, no jagginess. So Insomniac Games are the ones who did this. I don't know any of their other games right now, but
they did Ratchet and Clank, which has that same type of humor.
Okay.
Speaking of the humor, Peter Parker is like the voice acting in this game is so good. And every game you don't have that. Again, I'm going back to a game I just mentioned, Skyrim. Love that game, but the voice acting leaves something to be desired.
Yeah. I don't remember the last time I got a game the day it came out.
Well, mine was probably God of War, actually. But again, I get the games digitally, so.
Like, I went and bought the disc because I had to delete 14 gigabytes of data off of my hard drive to make room for it. But, yeah, I just, I really, really do enjoy this game a lot. It's one that I've decided to take my time with after busting through the first, you know, 30%+ of the game.
Yeah, and one of the other things they, and I mentioned, some of the, you know, the not just the side missions, but kind of like the mini games where you're fixing circuit boards or
which is a blast.
That
and
is
like
fun.
I like the research stations where you have to identify the chemicals and put the slides together. In the Spider-Man 2 game from the PS2, like you had to like capture balloons that kids lost that were floating up to the sky. You know, it was
like
a lot of fun. Yeah, it was, but it was harder because if you like grabbed it too fast or shot it from too far away, it snapped. Like it broke, and then the kid got mad.
But yeah, this game is, I'm having so much fun with this game.
Yep. So PlayStation nailed it.
Yeah, they have some of their exclusives. This is an exclusive. Horizon Zero Dawn, God of War.
Infamous was an exclusive.
An exclusive. They know what they're doing.
Yeah.
So. Except they don't allow crossplay, but that's a whole nother story.
Between
consoles, like for Fortnite and stuff like that. But
you don't play Fortnite, do you?
No. I'm playing the Blackout.
The Call of Duty Blackout beta.
But I've only played that maybe an hour and a half yesterday because I wanted to play Spider-Man more. So
nice. Yeah. Yeah, I'm probably gonna play more of it after we're done here. So I mean,
I gotta do Iron Fist first.
You definitely need to finish Iron Fist.
Gotta see what's going on with Danny and company.
There's something that's gonna happen in a couple episodes. And you're going to call me as soon as it happens because you're going to be like, holy frack balls. I can't believe that just happened.
Oh, man.
So, and that's not hyperbole. I mean, it was like.
Well, that's how I've been this whole season, but not from what stuff's happened, just how good it's been.
Yeah.
That's how I've been. I don't know how many times I've sent you a text. Man, this show is so good.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard from you more the last 4 days than I have in the last month. Like, just because, like, the three things that we were both so excited about all turned out to be good.
Oh, man.
So, this was a great weekend. Like, it was crappy weather here in Cincinnati.
Absolutely.
And
weather.
So, like, I got to stay in and, like, just consume media.
I mean,
which I haven't done, like, this level, like, well, I mean, since I went back to, like, a day job and not working for myself, like, I haven't consumed this level of media in this short amount of time in well over a year.
Right.
And it's like, maybe I need to go back to work for myself, but the wife would kill me. So.
And also you're not, you know, we just got lucky that everything, all three of these things were really good.
Yep.
And that's not going to always happen.
No, absolutely not. Cause usually like something will suck.
Or it'd be at least disappointing in some way, shape. None of these were disappointing.
Nope.
Not at all.
No, sir. All right. Well, anything else? Or I think that's a wrap, man.
Yeah,
like we've gushed for about an hour over three shows or two shows in a comic book, a comic book video game. And
I just hope
we probably sound like total fanboys, but I don't even care.
I don't care. I just really hope with the Spider, and again, I think I'm maybe 50% of the way through.
Yeah.
I really hope they do a Spider-Man 2.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm sure they have it planned already because the game, the story is setting that up anyway.
Okay.
So were you getting surprised as I was catching you? Because I started like hours after you did.
Right.
And you've probably played more than I have. And
I was at 45% yesterday before I played.
Yeah.
Like it was middle of the, I only played a couple hours yesterday, but remember Saturday.
I didn't play at all yesterday or Sunday. Yeah. Well, I played a little bit on Sunday, but not a lot.
So Saturday, I didn't play much. I played some, but again, you know, football, college football. So I watch a lot of college football. That's one of the reasons I didn't play. And then Sunday, I think I played it after watching the Bengals game a little bit.
Why would you waste your time?
They actually look like a team.
You know who says that every year?
Not the Detroit Lions.
Bengals fans.
they.
What about the Cleveland Browns off to their best start since 2004?
A tie? I felt sorry for Hugh Jackson. He was like, a tie?
There was a lady at work wearing a Browns jacket. I was like, you can wear that with pride. Best start since 04. And she started cracking up. Anyway. All right. On that note, let the people know where they can find you online if you want them to find you online.
Well, I do have a Twitter page, which I go to sometimes, but it is Dow of Geek, DAOOF, Geek.
How do you spell geek again?
Geek.
You don't have the threes in there. You have the actual E's, right?
I have the actual E's, which actually that would have been pretty cool if I would have used the threes. I don't know what I'm doing.
Facepalm emoji.
I need your help, Brian.
No, you don't.
You're my only hope.
No, I'm not. All right, guys. Thank you for listening. It's been a blast. Thank you for filling in for Johnny.
No problem.
We'll be back next week to talk about the Cincinnati Comic Expo, which we will be at all weekend. So if you're listening to this on Friday, come find me. Come find Johnny on Friday. I'll have an Infamous Cop podcast shirt on. On Saturday, I will be in a shirt with pickles on it.
Pickles?
Oh, yeah. Pickles. All right. On that note, we'll talk to you guys later.
Peace.
That was weird. Bye. The Infamous Podcast was recorded in Kings Mills, Ohio, just north of Cincinnati. You can find new episodes every Friday on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, our website, or anywhere podcasts are downloaded. The show is hosted by Johnny Podorf and me, Brian Tudor. Our music is Moose from bensounds.com. You can find more information out about the show by visiting us online at infamouspodcast.com or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Infamous Podcast. There you can stay up to date with the latest news about the show and what's going on in the world of comics, movies, TV, and more. We also have a Patreon page. That's patreon.com/infamouspodcast. We have some great rewards for our patrons, and we're looking for help to grow the show so we can bring you more of the content you want to hear. You can find Johnny on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as @JohnnyPodorf, and I'm on most social networks as @BrianTudor. So whenever you're listening to us, have a great day, night, evening, weekend, whenever it is, and we'll see you soon. Thanks for listening. Later.